Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. It's Enter the Light on Friday night, August 10th, 2018. I'm Shannon Johnson, one of your hosts of this evening. My co-hosts are Ryan Adregna and our special guest, Tina Godin, is joining us again tonight. And I'll give you a brief little info about each of our hosts tonight. Tina is a professional psychic medium and spiritual guide. She's been a medium all of her life, but her connection to spirit and angels intensified a few years ago after the loss of a loved one. She started working with channeling Eric and also work in crimes and missing person cases. She's also a level one Reiki practitioner and continues to further her education in Reiki healing. And then we have our co-host, Ryan Adregna. Ryan is an energy healer who works with his spirit team from the 7th through 12th dimensional realms. They use various energy techniques such as Reiki and Sekhem, and even a few we don't know about here on Earth, to help you become optimum in who you are and healing emotional issues, health issues, physical, you name it. Ryan and his team can probably give you a little insight and a little boost in your healing journey. I'm Shannon Johnson. I'm a metaphysical facilitator and medium with 20 years experience. My team and I help people to on their journey without interfering in your soul contracts or your choices of free will. That's all of us this evening. And our topic of discussion tonight is a zinger. Is it soul contract or emotional entanglement clogging your zone? Welcome, guys. How are you doing tonight?
Good. Thank you.
I'm good. Yep. Thanks for having me.
We're so glad you're with us. And Jan, for our listeners, Jan is off tonight. And she'll be scoping us out later on. So we send Jan lots of love and hugs. We miss you.
Miss you, Jan.
Yeah. So who would like to kick off the topic tonight? Everybody's silent.
We're all quiet.
Draw stress here. Okay, paper, rock, scissors. I'll kind of be brief with this a little bit because I have a little bit of experience as an energy healer. People will ask me, can this be healed? And right off the get-go, without even channeling my spirit team into the picture, it's always a 50-50 shot, but when I begin channeling, usually I'll get nudged one way or the other saying, like, for example, last night they gave me an E for experience. This is an experience for them, so it can be, or the healing can accelerate. A healing can accelerate whatever issues that they're going through. Or sometimes I'll get a negative valley from them saying, they pretty much have to suck it up, Buttercup. This is something that they signed up for. It's like going from AT&T to Verizon on your cellular phone bill. Yeah, you can force the switch over, but it's going to cost you dearly. You're going to pay the piper for it if that's allowed to even happen. And I've run into that before where, I've worked on the same person multiple times and they've come back to me and said, it's not getting any better. And I say, I am so sorry. As a matter of fact, I'll refund your money because if nothing has changed, then it is a contract. And sometimes that's the answer where, I do have frustrated customers I do work with, and I tell them, I'll try to say, I don't guarantee any results here. If you don't see any marked contrasts in the next few weeks after the session, then dollars of donuts, this is something that you signed up for, and it can't be broken, not even by the highest vibrational frequency spirits of the 10th or 11th dimensions. We can't go there. Sorry, bud. And it's frustrating for me because, I do want to help people, but, when it comes to things that aren't contracts, it's usually, what Shannon calls emotional entanglement. It's usually a bunch of negative energies that have grown roots into the body over time. And that can be on any plane. It can be on the emotional plane, which, you know, sometimes it can lead to depression. It can be on the physical plane, you know, leads to those, which can lead to your diseases, your cancers and whatnot. To your spleen, where, you know, you had an event happen in your life, and you no longer hold the same beliefs, so you're shutting yourself down from the world, and you're like, you know what, I was born a Christian and now I'm a Protestant, or you know, you're a Christian and now you're agnostic or something like that. Something changed, or even from your mental planes where you're feeling off. And those negative energies, if they aren't cleared from your body, will root themselves into potentially life inhibiting stuff that you don't clear, and before you know it, you have problems, you have physical problems. All that stupid, dumb negative energy stuff, all that can be cleared if you pay attention to what your body is telling you. You know, I mean, many people I work with that I work with have a lot of sore muscles, arthritis, a lot of clenched teeth, and that's the dumping ground that their body uses, because I'd say 90% of my clients, 95% of my clients are empaths, where they just absorb negative energies all day and they don't realize it. And the next thing they know, a year or two down the road, they're a hot mess. And they've got all these physical problems because energies, you know, all thought forms are energies. And when you're constantly being picked on, or you have someone in your life who's constantly putting you down, if you're not blocking that negative energy, it's absorbing into your body, and it does become a physical thing. It does transform into something physical. You know, you have your Alzheimer's, you have your dementia, you have a host of issues that these negative energies just grow. They're like seeds, that you plant in the garden, and the water is the dirty water coming in, is all the negative stuff, and just grows into something very undesirable. You know, and that stuff can be repaired and fixed, like I said earlier, as long as it's not a contract. You know, and a contract is what it is. I maybe Shannon has more experience with this, but 9 times out of 10, a contract cannot be voided because you shook hands with someone else prior to coming here, and it is what it is. And that's kind of my 2 cents on it. I don't know if who wants to go next. I'll get off my little podium here.
I guess I can go next, guys. Yeah, so that makes a lot of sense, Ryan, what you were saying. I mean, it's all connected, you know, our soul contracts and these emotional entanglements. And if we've contracted into this incarnation, you know, we have, you know, specific people, we design our plan, right? And we come onto this planet, and we have specific relationships with certain people that we have. And, you know, maybe one of the lessons that we're supposed to learn is self-love. So, you know, if you're in a relationship, and I'm speaking of like a marriage, or, you know, like a romantic relationship with someone that happens to be, let's say, narcissistic, you know, it could be that you've planned that out, you know, in order to have that experience. And then the opposite thing that you're going to learn is self-love, okay? And so what happens, too, sometimes people, they get into these relationships and they keep repeating history. And they go from one relationship to the next relationship, and it's the same thing. They're still getting treated the same way. And that's where the emotional entanglement comes into play here. And once the lesson is learned, you can cut those cords and you can cut those ties. You know, so, you know, just from experience, I was in a relationship many, many years ago with someone that was a narcissist. And I learned my lesson, and I did learn, you know, to increase my self-esteem and my self-worth. And, you know, the next relationship after that wasn't like that anymore, because I was determined. I cut those cords, cut those ties, and I was determined to put myself first. And so at that point, you know, that's when things had, you know, changed for me in that specific part of my contract. And so I was able to, you know, cut those cords, cut those ties, and, you know, just, it didn't repeat history. It didn't repeat itself again. And so there's soul growth there, and then there's that learning. If, you know, a lot of people too will find if nothing's changing, they feel this resistance. And so when you're feeling this resistance, you know, from one relationship to the next, and the same thing keeps happening again, because the lesson hasn't been learned yet. And so, you know, the two go hand in hand. But, you know, if it's a soul contract, as you were saying, Ryan, there's really not much, you know, anybody can do as far as like healing. However, you know, if you cut those cords, cut those ties, then, you know, and you have that soul growth and you're allowing yourself, and yes, the healing will take place with that, and it can occur. And just from my own experience, that's, you know, just my two cents as far as that goes. I don't know. Do you have anything else to say, Shannon?
That was really good, both of you. I'll probably go off in some oddball direction. I have no clue. So one of the things that I see happen a lot with clients, as, and I even did this myself back in the day, I kept staying in the repetitive attraction loop, right? An energy loop where you keep attracting the same kind of thing that you really don't want, but you're like, right? Or perhaps you're in a relationship and you're going, but it's a soul contract. I have to stay here and just deal with it. And I'm going to tell you, no. This is your sign from spirit going, pay attention. You may have had a contract with this person, but this is your moment that you can either see the pattern that you're in or stay blind to it. That's where our free will comes into play. We always have the choices. Contract or not, we still have choices here. And we can alter our contract when we acknowledge the lesson we're in. Learn through it. And then as you guys were saying, you know, then yeah, you start changing the pattern that you were in because now you've recognized it. You began to make internal changes for yourself. And when we're doing this, spirit and the Akash respond. They're always going, okay, let's realign. If there's a hard point that you still need to hit that relates to that lesson, it'll probably still come up, but it's going to come up in a new way that won't be as difficult as if you stayed in the repetitive cycle. Our emotions, we tend, and I've heard it a lot of people just going, but it's soul contract, I have to. And then we build up an emotional entanglement all around it. Because we already are in an experience that we have a lot of emotions going on. We're learning something, we're either, you know, perhaps it's an abusive relationship and you're learning about how to step away from that and self-love yourself. Maybe you feel insecure that you don't deserve to be treated a certain way, and you're in that lesson. The emotions start to tangle around the contractual agreement. So sometimes when you go to a healer or a medium or someone else of service trying to help you to clear it or move through it, sometimes we end up stuck in a standstill because until you start to kind of unwind all the emotions that you tied into it, you're not getting to the root because there's all these other layers. It's like having a chaotic spin of energy all around you that somebody's trying to like dust you off and go, can I see through there? There's all these emotions there, and then it takes a little bit longer to try to reach through. We have the ability, as we move through our lives and work with the things we aligned for ourselves, that if we stop and allow ourselves to be in it, process the emotions, instead of letting them just tangle you up and strangle your throat, you'll be able to move through it first or in contractual or not. You'll get to the other side of it and be able to now see a clearer picture for yourself and go, okay. Wow, I really learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about my partner. I learned a lot about this. And now I have this fantastic tool bag of resources because not only did I learn something in that contractual agreement, but all of that emotional entanglement that came with it, I've learned now how to better handle and use my emotions in a more positive aspect for me. So when I encounter something like that again, you're not going to get into that spin that you're just like, oh my God, there's this and there's that. And you'll be able to ride the wave and allow those emotions to come in and move on through. And it makes your contractual agreements actually begin to shift in the ones that are ahead of you, because you've already started to pull the lesson right along with you in that bag of tools. Did that make any sense?
Oh, that was very well said.
Yes. Dr. Shannon Johnson.
Yes.
That was good.
That was very, very good.
That was my team, guys.
Yeah,
I love it. You know?
That was awesome. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Super glad I went first, I suppose. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. Because I sure as hell couldn't trump that one.
I myself went through it. You know, my first marriage, for example, was a contractual agreement. I don't know what I was thinking in spirit. Because I gave myself, like, all these, my two husbands have extreme similarities, right? But the first one was contractual, not just for me and him, but also about the children we were bringing in. But in that relationship, I was having to learn to be independent, but also help my partner to be independent within the partnership. He was a very dependent person. And even though it was contractual and we had children and all of these things, and I had like all this emotional entanglement about him because I was just like, I know this is soul contract. I know it. Had the premonitions. Had the visions. I know it. As we were moving into the later years that we were together was when I had to have that wake-up call of, am I here still because of the contract, or am I here because all of my emotional connections are linked to this man and the children we have together? And was I going to acknowledge it and begin to detangle that mess, which then came up of, by the way, time for divorce. And I look at his spirit going, oh, crap. Okay. Or do I allow the emotional entanglement and the contract to hold me in a place that I was very unhappy and I was literally sacrificing everything of who I was as an individual to those three other people, and there was no me left? It comes at a price, right? When we do those kinds of things, we allow that emotional entanglement to just have us sucked into that vortex. Then you're like, if I keep going with this, I'm disappearing. Well, do I want to continue to disappear and just keep telling myself, it's okay, put up with it, it's a soul contract, you have to do this? Or was it spirit going, hey, you, are you going to listen? Are you going to wake up to what you're in and acknowledge that it's not serving either one of you? Is rough.
It is, and I in my heart of hearts, not to interject here, but I don't think, you know, because when you're in spirit, you no longer have those human emotions attached to you. You leave them behind when you go to the other side, and I think that sometimes spirit signs up for ridiculous crap that if you're a human, you'd be like, no friggin' way am I gonna do that. Well, I'm doing it now because my non-egotistical spirit higher self said, we can do this, don't sweat, you know. But I think there's a reason behind the contract where we say, you know what, say I signed a contract with Joe Blow down the street to get into a lifelong nasty neighborhood feud, and you know, and ended up in a murder-suicide or something stupid like that. You know, when we were designing our lives, we said, you know what, I bet you if we sign up for a contract, we will be able to increase our vibrational frequency and ascend higher. Because these contracts, I think, are designed to enable us to spiritually grow. I mean, Earth is a master classroom for Earth is a master classroom for learning. You know, it's like the seven deadly sins. You know, you have to experience a lot of negative in order to spiritually grow and ascend in your vibrational frequency.
Very true. And the life planning stuff that I've been trans-channeling with the Cool Council, you know, one of the things they brought up was that bear in mind, everyone is an adversary for someone. It's part of the deal. It's part of how you agreed, perhaps, to work with that particular individual. You may be perfect for everybody else, and they think you're just such the little cherub. And there's going to be that one person that you run into in your life that's just like, God, you and I just bang heads all the time. You're always on me. You know, and you're like, you need to be doing blah, blah, blah. You know, and it's like you're having this head banging. And it's like so unlike you, but this one person, right? And that person's great for everybody else too. But when the two of you come together, that's a moment. That's a moment to acknowledge that the two of you most likely have an agreement to be adversaries for a purpose. What is it that one or both of you are bringing to the table that's going to teach and motivate or push that other person just that nudge enough that's going to help them in another part of their path or in that moment? And we struggle with that as humans. We don't like to see ourselves as, I got to be the bad guy. Well, as far as spirit's concerned, you're not a bad guy. You're playing the role that's needed in the moment for a purpose.
Yeah.
And whether you know it or not, that purpose is energy at work that's going to help either you or both, or maybe even someone either one of you is going to connect with later on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but the bright spot to all this is that when we're all dead and gone and back to the other side, we end up and we come to the realization of what we signed up for. We eventually high five the other person, say, "Yeah, that was a little bit of work. Maybe we won't do that one again."
Or you see them and you're like, "Man, you know, I never dated a psycho before." And you pulled it off so good. Man, that was a wild ride. I didn't know what was coming next. I didn't know if I needed to hide the knives in the kitchen or not anymore. But you nailed it. And I learned this and I learned that. And oh, my God, did you meet Joe? When Joe showed up, man, I thought you was going to, like, lop his head off. You were so psycho. You did it so good. Down here, we're like, oh, my God, this person's so psycho. I need to hide. Where can I run? And at home, we're like, yeah, for the psycho. Woohoo!
Yeah, and that's a good point because this is – Earth is Broadway. It's a stage. We're just down here acting a part. This isn't who we truly are right now. We're in costume and makeup, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, that's probably a bad analogy. I don't know, but you know, we're reading from a script that we designed, and we're dressed up, and you know, I'm the axe murderer, and she's the drunken cowboy. You know, who knows? We're all playing a part that we agreed to. You know.
Yeah, when you get on stage, you're doing improv. You ever watch improv comedy?
Oh, yeah.
I love it. Mm-hmm. One of my favorites.
Yeah.
But literally, because, you know, we did the life planning. Everybody's like, yeah, yep, I know where I walk in. Okay. Yep. All right. Let's go. And then you get down here, and the script is now hedge notes. Okay. Improv. And we start doing it.
Yeah.
And every player on the stage is needed for every other actor on the stage to be able to improv their role.
Yeah. This doesn't come with no scripts. I mean, you're here. Johnny or Sally walk into your life. Why are they here? I don't know. I left my script in the car, but here we go. We're improvising. That's the free will part of it, right?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
You know, so I think one of the big keys is because Earth is a lot about an emotional learning ground because the human body is created so cool for this environment, for this layout, this kind of interaction with other people. So the more that we can work with learning how to communicate our emotions just as well as we communicate intellectual ideas and allow it to be acceptable, the less emotional entanglement we have to deal with because we start being more authentic to how we're feeling and being okay with expressing it. You know?
Yeah, I agree.
And I will say, you put all of those emotions you get tangled up in your head, you keep putting them in a box,
and
health issues are going to come up.
And I will add that, to the callers and listeners who are on the air right now with us that. Sometimes these contracts are so complex, they're carryovers from a previous lifetime. Maybe you die before the contract has had a chance to be fulfilled. It's still there. You just have to incarnate again to finish it. I mean, that happened with me. You know, just because you've got a contract doesn't mean it's going to be resolved in one lifetime. You know, I had... I had a murder-suicide in 1950 where I'm repeating myself from many episodes back, but I cheated on my then-brother at the time, and he found out he tried to kill me, and blah, 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 blah. So So I killed him, and then I killed myself because I was cheating on his wife. And then in this lifetime, he's actually my brother-in-law. And I think, Shannon, you may have been involved in this one. He did Akashic Records on me. And, you know, it turned out that in order to, you know, started with the retribution, because I said there's this woman that I met when I was in, and way back when the Dead Sea was sick, by 1990s, I fell in love with her, and she didn't return my affections, and it was a case of retaliation. Even though I forgave my brother, I told him my brother-in-law in this lifetime, I told him I loved him. I corrected that karmic contract because the recurring dreams went away, but yet this other woman stepped forward into my life as retaliation for making them feel like crap back in the 1950s. So these, I guess what I'm trying to say here is sometimes these contracts can be carryovers that they're not completed. So I hope I didn't throw a monkey in the works there, but, you know, you never know. You have a contract and maybe you get hit by a car or you lose your life somehow before you've had a chance to play it out. That's all I'm trying to say. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hate to be a negative Nelly like that, but it happens. I mean, you never know. It's part of living life. You're like, man, I designed this perfect life with all these experiences and contracts, and I ended up taking an exit point before it was all done. So now I have to go back and not become a soap opera. That's why people, I think, incarnate so many times, because they've got unfinished business. They can get complex like a soap opera. You have to do a bunch of untangling all the time. So, you know, that's...
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I just went off on a tangent there. But yeah, a lot of fun. Alrighty then. I guess I just set the mood there. Sorry about that. Please, Ryan, tell us more. Well, thank you. I'll be quiet now.
I'll tell you, I had an experience a couple years ago, and it was such a trip because I was out of body. It was bedtime, middle of the night. And I woke up in the morning being able to recall this because I was crying when I woke up. And so I was sitting in a large library, and my guide was standing over my shoulder, and I was rewriting a section of the contract that had not happened yet. And I remember looking at her and going, is this how it's done? And she said, yes, there's changes that are in the current, so we're going to adjust the plan. And I said, oh. And so I'm writing and writing, and I started crying. And I looked at her and I said, this can't be. This is too painful for someone. Why would we do this? And she goes, it's okay. It's going to work out fine. Just understand, this is how it has to change and shift because someone's leaving. And I didn't understand it at the time. I was just like, okay. So I'm writing it. And I'm bawling. I'm just bawling. Woke up bawling. You know, and I was just like, wow, got to write this one down. Whoa, what was that? And 2 years later, the event ended up happening. My oldest daughter's boyfriend took an exit point. His soul had aligned for it. He didn't take his own life. He was murdered. Now, for a 21-year-old girl, you want to see somebody devastated, right? Because she was on her way to the scene. She was 15 minutes talk about spirit intervening. 15-minute difference. She got held up at work 10 minutes. They had a date that night. 10 minutes late getting out of work. Races home. Changes clothes into the dress, the heels, the hat. Out the door. I'm late, Mom. I'm late. She was 15 minutes different from being in on the scene when the shooting happened, and it could have been her. But it was to be her boyfriend who had aligned. He was so unhappy. Life contract was not going well. He aligned for an exit point. And he knew about it. He kept having a premonition about it. So that story that I was writing, I was in my contract and her contract because he was going to depart early. And the pain that she was going to have to go through was now getting added in, because this journey was not only going to make a swift change in her current, but it was going to alter the next big event coming in. It was one of those mind-blowing times, I have to tell you, that you just go,
whoa.
You know, we spent over 6 months doing intensive healing and accessing other people and all of those kinds of things for her and I to heal through this, because as her mom, you know, you're watching your daughter just like fall into a big puddle on the ground.
Yeah.
Can't eat. Heart trouble started happening, had to go to the cardiologist. All these other things came into play. So you just never know how a shift in your contract because someone else makes a choice or their soul decides to align with one of the options that are available. And then it begins to shift so that you can align with the next opportunity that will best meet the needs you originally had. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's some crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. I love it. It's like one of those things you get real nitty gritty in your teeth and just go, ooh, yeah, meaty stuff.
Yeah,
we spun off into another.
Yeah.
You guys ready to rock and roll with some callers? We got a lineup, finally.
Yeah, let's do it.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to bring in 780. Hi, 780. You're on the air. Can we get your first name and where you're calling from?
Yeah, my name is Jay. I'm calling from Canada.
Hi, Jay. You got a question for us?
Oh, in regards, it's like a psychic question or what?
It can be around the topic. It can be a mediumship question, a healing question.
Sure.
Insight.
It'll be, yeah, okay. How about a mediumship question, please? And it's about my mother who passed away in April and my best friend had passed away just recently. And I don't know, I have to do some work with my mom, a lot of work with my mom. And also my best friend actually passed away too. I don't have that much work to do with him, but I just wonder how they're doing up on the other side.
Mom spends a lot of time around you. The other two, I get that they're... hearing the word consultation. Which is normal, honestly, okay? Depending on what they experienced in their lives, there's usually, you know, some assimilation of getting back home and understanding what all went down when you were here. Quit picking. Have you been like picking apart different memories and things that irritated you with mom? Just with mom.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. She goes, quit picking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She is going to be assisting you with processing some of those things that you have. I'm not going to call them issues. I'm going to call them challenges in the maternal relationship that the two of you had. Because she understands what went on from the soul contract perspective. That was the agreement between the two of you as mother and son. And there's some areas that she didn't quite master very well.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to be helping you to be able to break those old chains, is how it's being presented as chains, so that you can regain the loving relationship. Yeah. She says, it can be done from me being on this side. It just takes a little time and work. But she very much wants to be able to help you have peace in your heart where that relationship is concerned, because it's given you quite a bit of a struggle in different areas. Tina or Ryan, do you have anything for Jay?
Yeah, I'm. Oh, go ahead, Ryan. You go ahead.
Oh no. I just. Not too much. Not to be Captain Obvious here, but you just have to let the because of all this freshness of the transitions, you're naturally going through the grief process right now. And just know, Jake, that although they did transition, they never really left. They're just non-physical beings now. And
yeah.
And they actually, because it's been so recent, it's like taking a new kid, taking them out of a school and putting them into a new school, and the new school looks nothing like they remember. So it's not only have they changed their vibrational frequency of the non-physical, but they're remembering what it was like to be non-physical right now at the same time trying to work with you. So they're kind of pulling double duty right now, you know, making sure that you're processing your grief so you don't become depressed and go down that slippery slope. But at the same time, they're saying, okay, I'm back to where I was. I'm back home again. Now I have to figure this thing out all over again. I have to figure out how to walk. I have to figure out how to walk. I have to figure out how to travel. I have to figure out all these things that I used to know how to do. At the same time, Jake is back on planet Earth, and he's dealing with us not being there. So there's a lot of work being done right now. And they just want to let you know. I mean, you're loved very much. And, you know, carry your head, for whatever reason right now, you've been carrying your head down low a little bit, and rightfully so, because you've been through so much. But just want you to know that you are loved very, very much. And like I said, they're not far away from you at all. I mean, they're very close to you, like Shannon was saying. So rejoice in the fact that it's not like they're in a far distant galaxy, far, far away, you know, like the Star Wars movie. But they're right there. They're just, I would ask them to give you signs that they're around. Like, they have a favorite cologne or a perfume that they wore. Did they like butterflies? What did they like? I'd ask them to show you some indications and signs that they're around. Okay.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, you gotta get that skip back in your step, because your head's kind of hung down low, and rightfully so, because that's tough to lose a lot of people so fast like that. I haven't experienced that, so God bless yourself for hanging in there. You're a beautiful human being, Jake. And like I said, you're loved very, very much, and hang in there, okay, bud. And someday when you go to the non-physical, you'll be like, wow, guys, I don't know if I want to go through that contract again. That really sucked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is something that you probably agreed to before you came here, to experience all these transitions of people from physical to non-physical. This is something that you're like, okay, this is what it feels like to lose people left, right, in front and behind you. And now you're feeling lonely, and you're like, oh, my God, I don't know if I can take it. If one more person dies, I'm just going to lose it, you know? And it's okay to feel, process your emotions of grief. It's okay. We're only human. I mean, but like Shannon was saying, you know, they're there. They haven't left. They're life beings now in the fifth dimension or higher, but, you know, it's all good. And they're telling me you're going to have some lucid dreams with them because you miss them so much. So maybe that's a part of your closure to your grief, is you're going to meet them in the fourth dimension, the astral plane, and they're going to drop down their vibrational frequency and meet up with you, you know, as appropriate timing is for you, okay?
Okay.
Have you ever had lucid dreams before?
Lucid dreams meaning what? Like,
meaning that you know that you are fully aware that you are dreaming.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So don't be afraid. Don't be shocked if you're, you know, 1 to 2 months down the road, as they look at you and say, okay, Jake needs to take a five. We're gonna go visit them. We're gonna go visit him. So you have that lucid dream. And when you see them, and you just see them out of the ordinary and say, oh, hi, how you doing? I missed you. And you know you're dreaming. And the trick to when you wake up from any lucid dream, Jake, is don't move a muscle when you wake up. Because the more some people, when they wake up, their alarm goes off, and they jump out of bed, and they forgot what they dreamed. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
So the less you move when you wake up, the more you can savor the flavor of a dream. Just wake up gently, don't move a muscle, and just say, ah, yes, I was just there. Yeah. Okay? That'll help you with your grief processing, okay?
Yep, thank you.
You're welcome. And with that, I'll pass over to Tina.
Hi, Jake. How are you?
Good. How are yourself?
Oh, not too bad. All right. So I have a few people stepping forward that are trying to connect here, and the first person that I see is a lady. She's on the shorter side, and she has a belly. And I kept hearing the name Troy. I thought it was the name Troy, but what she's showing me is she's showing me some sugar cookies, and she's showing me crepes. And it just hit me that she's making ploy. And so that's what she's showing me in the visual that I'm getting here. And I don't know if this is your mother or your grandmother, but is someone connected to you on your mother's side? So I don't know if your mother's mother had passed as well, but that's what I'm seeing, and that's what they're showing me here. And then another person that steps forward is this male spirit, and he's showing me he's very tall and he's thin and he has dark hair, and his hair almost looks a little bit curly in the back, kind of. And he's making me feel like his passing was an accident, and I'm also seeing the number 6 and the number 28, so I don't know if he passed in the month of June or on the
date of the 28th, but I'm getting the date of the 28th very, very strong. Does that make sense?
I'm not sure who passed on the 28th, though.
It could be an age, maybe his date of birth, but he just kept showing me the number 28.
Okay. I don't know who that'd be. I'll have to think about that. Sorry.
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
I'll have to think about that. I don't know who that'd be.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah.
The tall male spirit, dark hair.
Well, it was my teacher a long, long time ago, but he passed in the 80s. So, but he was 60, over
now,
60 years old.
Young, yeah. I'm seeing a young man in his 30s is who I'm picking up here.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Okay, that's all. Yeah, that's all I get.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for the insight and the conversation you had on our what lives we live in this world, eh? And who we team up for soul family. It's always interesting.
Yes, it is.
One last thing for you, Jay. Because you are grieving several losses, a really good tool to use is writing. Write them a letter. Not on the computer. Use your hand. Because when we use our hand, we allow our emotions to come out better. We're not analyzing it as much.
Yep.
Everything, you know that when you think of them, when you say their name in your head, when you picture them, when you write them a letter, they hear and feel all of it. So even if it's something difficult you have to work through, like with Mom, you can write about it. You're not going to hurt her feelings. You're going to help yourself process your own emotions, and it's a fantastic way to also share with them what you're going through, and they can help you from the other side to process it. It's fabulous. You don't have to show it to anybody. You can write them, burn them afterwards, whatever feels good to you, but it will really help you to be able to process feelings and memories. Okay?
Okay.
Definitely give us a call in another time and let us know how you're doing.
Yeah,
do you want to continue
you.
To listen to the show?
Sure. I'll do that. Okay. Thank you.
All right. And we are going to move on to... next one on my list. 402.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, thanks.
Can we get your name and where you're calling from?
You bet. This is Sharon, and I'm in Omaha, Nebraska.
You got a question for us tonight, Sharon?
I was hoping for mediumship with, you know, my family. I've got a lot of things going on around me, and I'm wondering if they could give me some insight. What to do?
The current situation?
It's bad. I'm being followed.
Tina or Ryan, do you have anything ready for sharing? I'm still collecting data.
Yeah, no, I'm doing the same thing. I'm just connecting to her being telepathically here. Yeah, my sixth chakra is blowing up right now. Your angels and guides are desperately trying to get you to your own mediumship abilities to open up. It seems like blocking it or something. Are you making an attempt to... I'm sorry?
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, I get premonitions. I guess it's what it's like. It's like a dream, but it's not a lucid dream, but I, you know, wake up and it's bad stuff, and I don't know if it's past or coming.
That's tough.
It's usually with animals.
Okay.
Mostly.
Yeah. And dreams are funny because sometimes dreams can be clips from past lives,
right,
that are unfinished business. Those can be tricky, and sometimes they can be metaphorical, and those are even trickier because then you have a bowl full of spaghetti you're trying to sort out. It's like, oh my God, why can't you just call a spade with me here? Come on, spirit world. And they like to play jokes with us. They think it's funny. They think it's funny, and I don't find any humor in it because I had to phone a friend like Shannon. Like, untangle
right.
it for me, damn it. But no, I mean,
right.
For you, I'm not.
Mine are real direct, you know. And
well, then you're blessed.
Clear.
Good for you.
But
okay.
it's not happy. I mean, it's bad stuff. So
my
mother used to complain about that. She was very gifted.
Yeah, I'm scanning all your fields right now. You're physically you're running a pretty tight ship. Spiritually, that's a work in progress. Emotionally and mentally. I have a huge headache right in front of my eyes when I merge into your energy field.
Sorry.
Because they've been trying to spray, for lack of better terms, spiritual WD-40 and a crowbar in your third eye to get it to open up a little bit. And no pun intended, but it's a little rusted. So you could probably benefit from a healing to get that opened up even more. But what they're telling me is that you're super intelligent and your abilities, once you become your intuitiveness, mm-hmm. your psychic mediumship, once you are to where you need to be, that you're just going to be just all knowing is the word that they're giving me. You're just going to know things that people look at you sideways and
right.
say, how the hell did Sharon know that?
Right.
Well, she
right.
she does. You pick up the energies of
I
people. Kind of like you're kind of like a human lie detector. Yeah.
Yes.
I hate to be the one that lies to you.
Yeah, exactly. But it's not anything I can control, and it just like comes out of nowhere sometimes. And like I hear someone's
talk.
And then it's confirmed because they speak it out loud or something towards to it.
Yeah, you're very you're. I don't know what Claire that is off the top of my head. I had to Google that, to be honest with you, because I'm so tired. But yeah, no, you're very powerful. You're a very powerful light worker, and like I said, I'd hate to be the one who lied to you about something because it was
happening. I'm being lied to by everybody, and that's what
you call them out
you know. The problem for me right now is I've got all this coming at me, which, messes with my focus. And that's
like
the whack-a-mole,
point, right?
I think.
Yeah, it's like whack-a-mole, And this is about boundaries, too. When you know someone's lying to you, you call them out on it.
Yeah.
Here's the facts. So this is what's going on.
Yeah, I do.
And before you know it, they take a stage left.
Yeah.
You know?
they don't respond when I do it.
And they're guilty. And
Right. But I'm just trying to live my life, I'm just trying to make it stop. But I'm really like,
why would you want to block yourself?
I what?
Why would you want to block yourself, though? I mean, block your abilities. If I were you, I'd throw
I'd
throw
all
some
points. Negative.
Well, it's
so
about boundaries,
rest.
Okay? You don't have to throw the Boy Scout water on the fire, but you don't have to block your abilities either. You can tame them and grow them at a logical level where, it's not scary to you or scary to people. But if people have a propensity to lie to you, then maybe you're projecting something to them that forces them to make a lie. I don't know. I haven't dug that deep into the community, you know, how you interact with other people. Do people just naturally want to lie to you? I don't know.
It's just
But
it's a weird situation where people are, you know, kind of gathered, you know, almost like a ganged up type of deal, you know, and they want to hurt me. They want to get me out of here. They want me out of my house. They want my house.
Mm.
And so that's why this stuff's going on. But I was really hoping to connect with my family and, you know, and try to,
I'm feeling that this is a contract that you signed up for. Now, I could be wrong, but that's what they're giving me, a letter C here for contract. May not be a strong one, but for you, you've been given the tools to kind of navigate that a little bit. You know, you signed up to you signed yourself up into a shit, I mean, not, I should say a crap storm, and but you have the tools to, you have the tools, Sharon, to kind of navigate around all the BS.
Yeah,
so,
you know, it could be literal what you just said. I know God speaks to me really literal because he knows I need it spelled out. And it is regarding a contract, what this battle is about, literally about a contract. So I don't know if you feel that you could be, you know, picking that up literally or...
we're talking about a third dimensional physical man-made contract. Yeah, and I was referring to a spiritual, but it might be synonymous. Okay, I was referring to a spiritual contract that manifests itself into a physical contract, and you know, and Shannon could speak to that. Not to put her on the spot, but yeah, go ahead.
If I have a question, if I signed up for some spiritual contract where I was going to have all these constant battles, you know, to try to right all the wrongs in the world, I want to get out of it. Contract. I don't want to do it. So how do I get out of it? I mean, I want
good
out
luck
of this
to you.
Contract.
Oh my. Well.
If I signed
thing.
Up for something like this, no way.
Dude, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Sharon. When we're in spirit, we're all happy and giddy and fluffy and lovey, and we shake hands and say,
right.
"Okay, guys, let's go do this. This is gonna be so much fun." Because when I'm done with this, I was at a certain vibrational frequency level. I nailed that contract, and now I'm two notches up higher on the ladder. Yay!
Right. Exactly.
No? Your soul, the vibrational frequency or the signature of your soul is that much closer to the light because you some blood, sweat, and tears to the contract. You made it through. You know, a little bloody, but you made it through, and you've ascended that much higher. Did you want to do it? No. Now that you know what you're going through, like, now you're so mad at your higher self for putting you through this. But I don't know if you can get out of that. The contracts usually are what they are. It's like signing up for renting an apartment, you know, for a year, and you got another better paying job out of state. Sure, you can move.
Yeah.
Sure, you can move away, but you're still stuck paying that extra 6 months of rent, no matter what.
Right.
Ball and
right.
chain. So, you know, I wish I can give you some. I wish I could find a bright spot here. Maybe Shannon or Tina can. It seems like there's negative mailing today. I'm sorry.
You don't see
any
great. What's that? You don't see any bright spots, huh? Dang.
I'm not seeing any bright spots. They just gave me the word M for muscle. You got to muscle through some stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
So I hope you're good at weightlifting.
I'm not. I'm just, you know, my physical stamina is not what it used to be.
Yeah, I hear you. When I was going to work this morning, I saw a runner running pretty fast, you know, doing his morning work. I'm thinking, I can go do that. I can go get my running shoes on like after work. I run to the mailbox. I'm just... I can't run.
It's to the point where I need to use the walker to walk around the circle where I live.
No.
Yeah.
Well, you'll see me run if there's a big black bear chasing me. That's the only time you'll see me run, and I'll run real fast. So, yeah. But with that, I'll pass to the other either Shannon or Tina.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Tina, do you have anything for Sharon?
Hi, Sharon. What I kept picking up on here is, first I felt I could smell whiskey and cigar smoke, and I could see an older male sitting in a rocking chair. It was just so overpowering. I just felt, no offense to the poor spirit, but I felt nauseated to the point. The smell. I don't know who this could be for you, but that's who's coming in. And then I just get feelings of anxiety. My heart was racing. My body was just picking up on a lot of things. So it wasn't a lot of visuals with this reading. It was a lot of actually physical stuff. So my heart was racing. I kept having heart palpitations. I coughed a couple times. I had trouble breathing. I felt asthmatic. I felt like I just couldn't get enough oxygen. I also was seeing money, and they were just showing me, that is one of the visuals that I did get, was they were showing me just money on a table, and I'm taking that as some financial distress, just a lot of worry around money is how I was feeling, because it did feel negative. It wasn't like money was coming in type of thing. It was showing me there was, I'm sorry?
No, I said, thanks. I was kind of hoping it meant I was
negative. No, not to be negative. They're just showing me that there's some worry around there, and that's what I was sensing with you.
Right.
That's all they're showing me. It's not that they're being negative about it. It's just this is what they're showing me. Because I was picking up on your energy, and that's what I was getting. The man with the cigar smoke, though, does that make sense to you? Does somebody in your family, because I know you wanted mediumship, was there somebody that had passed that would make sense? And he was showing me whiskey, and I saw the letter W with that. So, because I had asked, what is that? And he said whiskey and showed me the letter W. So I don't know who that is. It's an old man, and he didn't have any hair at all. He was bald. I mean, there was a couple strands of hair. That was about it.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Ex-husband maybe, had some cigars, but I don't know that he drank whiskey. I don't know what, he had some issues with drinking. He passed young from leukemia. And he wasn't here. I wasn't with him when he died. But he had quit smoking cigars. I had as soon as you said it, I envisioned my great uncle. He used to always have a cigar in his hand.
I'm feeling more if it's an uncle. Because I wasn't specifically getting like grandfather or father. And usually I'll get the tingles on like the right side of my body. And I wasn't getting that. It was almost like it was a little bit farther away. That spirit telling me it's
uncle.
Like an uncle. Uncle.
Yeah,
okay.
I had an uncle
that would make sense.
I had an uncle that was an alcoholic. He did drink whiskey, but I don't remember him ever having a cigar. He had smoked cigarettes and quit, and then he smoked them again, but I don't know about the cigar.
Well, it had a brown – to me it was a
he
cigar
had
because
hair.
It was the brown wrapping. No, this person had just a couple strands of hair.
Yeah, he had hair, good head of hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, my ex did not have a lot of hair, but I don't know.
I'm just trying to see.
I'm sorry.
Well, I have him here. Anything else that he wants
to
say?
Let me ask you a question. Are you sure they're dead? Could it be somebody, one of these people?
This is somebody that's passed. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Really don't know.
No, this is somebody that has passed in your family, on your family line.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I was just, like I said, picking up on.
They all had a lot of hair.
This person, a few strands, almost like you didn't really need to comb it at all,
Except
it's very thin.
Yeah.
Very thin hair.
You know,
hair.
There's a lot of drinkers in my bloodline, but I don't know about the cigar, and hair-wise, I'm not sure. You know, I had a great uncle. He died when I was pretty young, though. I don't think he had a lot of hair, and he was an alcoholic. And I don't know if he smoked cigars. But he was a great guy.
Yeah, I'm still picking up uncle. Yeah, I'm picking up uncle on that.
Okay, is there any message?
I'm not getting a name. I'm sorry?
Okay. Is there any message from them?
Yeah, he was... He's showing me that he was the one that's showing me about the money.
Yeah.
When I was getting the visuals. And that's what I was asking about that. And so what I was getting was that you're almost like running from, it's like endless running. Like you're on this cycle.
Right.
And it's like no matter where you go, it's just not, you're not getting anywhere is what he was showing me. Yeah, and that's how he was making me feel. You know, the experiences that you're going through, and you're always like looking behind you for the next thing. You're waiting for the next thing to happen. And his message is to try to lessen the anxiety, just because of the experiences that you've had in your life. You're just always hyper vigilant, and so that's something that you've just, you know, you learned how to be, I guess, as a young child is what he was showing me. And so, you know, to just know that some of this could just be anxiety related, that it's not as big as what you're feeling it to be.
Yeah, I wish. And I have been praying about that to, you know, make sure I don't think something is what it isn't, you know, to have clarity. Because unfortunately, I believe it or not, I end up forgetting about things and trusting people, and then I'm stabbed in the back. I should have trusted them, you know. So
and that's
I am too trusting, and it doesn't make any sense. But that's just my nature.
Yeah, that's what his message is to kind of break that cycle, because that's just cyclical. You're just constantly running and going and doing the same thing. You know what I mean? And it kind of goes with the theme of the night too, with these emotional entanglements and soul contracts and cutting those cords and those ties. And, you know, so...
Well, you cut them all.
Yeah, I know. Life is hard. I know. It can get really tough. I understand that. I understand that fully. And that's, you know, that's what the message was for you. There wasn't anybody else that had come through or anything else that I was picking on. But I really want you to, as far as your physical health, and your emotional health, I really want you to start taking better care of yourself. And it's a message from your spirit guides is what they're showing me, is to put yourself first and start taking care of you.
Yeah, that's hard. Yeah, I'm trying. I tried to go to the park today, and constantly somebody coming by to see what I'm doing all day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had a legal battle going on with the association where I live, you know, and they want me gone, and they're doing, you know, won't fix things, and vandalism, and it's on a constant basis, and, you know, some police reports, but nobody to really stop it, so that's the constant. That's the constant.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been battling it since 85, went to court in 2010, still battling it.
Wow.
But health isn't what it was, you know, finances. So that's where you get the money thing, you know. If you can't, and I've been going to the doctor, I've been trying, but they can't figure out the leg deal. So I'm doing the best I can. I was hoping for the insight, you know, these dreams really bother me because I worry about my dog taking her before, and they killed my cat, the neighbors, and nothing was done. My veterinarian even wrote a letter to, you know, to validate this was murder. I mean, smashed her head in. and it's horrible. So it's not pretend. It's really happening.
I'm sorry, can you say that again, the last part?
Yeah, it's not made up in my head. It's really happened.
Right, right. Shannon, do you have anything that you're picking up?
I do have a couple of notes for Sharon. So one of the
Great.
First things that came up for me was a lack of power. Every time you start to feel like you have power, it is stripped, and it keeps making you feel like you have a lack of power. So self-empowerment came up as a huge, bold print word across my eyes going, this is the target area, is for you to begin to work on feeling self-empowered. And it's not through any of the events going on around you. This is about you and your emotions.
Right.
And working through that tangle to feel like you have your power back of who you are as an individual.
Yeah.
It did come up as well about relocation. That was one of my big notes, relocation. I'm hearing that this is getting to the point where it's impact, all of this is manifesting into physical form. And it's your choice in how far you want to keep fighting or if you want to take your life back away. And that's with the self-empowerment of going, okay, you know what, I'm done with you, you're not worth it. And relocation came up really strong for you. And they were showing me something in a warmer climate. I'm not sure if it was Arizona or Florida. I didn't feel humidity, so I lean more towards something more Arizona, New Mexico area that would be good for your health and your mental state and allow you to process the rest of the emotional entanglement that you've been caught up in for so many years. The other note that I have that they brought up was they were screaming at me, Abraham Hicks. Do you know of Abraham and Esther Hicks?
Yes.
Okay. They're bringing that one up very strongly for you, and they suggest that you start working a little bit with some of the various information from Esther on how to rework the energy that's around you and within you so that you can begin to feel more in alignment and feel more empowered in yourself.
I might be wrong. I may not know. Who exactly are they?
Esther Hicks is a channel for Abraham. Abraham is a group of entities that speak through Esther. They're very, very good. There's tons of YouTube videos. You can listen to them. They do seminars all over the country and world. There's several books out as well. But they're definitely giving me the audio form for you because it would help you better to listen to it versus reading a book. Sometimes they show me books.
Okay.
This time they're playing recordings in my ear. So
okay.
they recommend
Abraham
that you work
what?
With that. Abraham
is
a collective. Yes. They're very, very good. But this will help you with empowerment, and they're telling me it's going to help you to rework and adjust the energy within you and what's coming at you. So they highly recommend that for you. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay. But nobody picked up my son or mom or anything, huh?
At the moment, no.
No, I didn't pick up at all. Just the uncle and the family.
Yeah. I'm not sure. You know, this one uncle that I've been talking about a lot. I didn't get to see him like the last 3 or 4 years of his life. His kids moved him. So it could be him. I don't know. I don't know what his hair looked like then, you know?
Yeah.
But it was he had a lot of hair before.
Well, let us know how it goes, okay?
Take the messages, and you never know when it might come to mind at another point in time. But we are starting to run down on our clock, and we need to be able to get to at least one more caller tonight.
Oh, for sure.
Those messages help give you a little bit of insight. And you may want to look at booking a private session with someone like Tina or myself or maybe one of the Channeling Eric mediums where you can get a little bit more one-on-one direct with your loved ones. Okay?
Well, I
definitely
appreciate
your
time.
Thank
you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling in. All right, guys. We're going to hit one more caller, 805. Hi, 805.
Great.
Thank you for waiting. What's your name?
Oh, thank you so much. This is Donna. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Donna. What's your question for us?
I just want to know what messages you have coming up for me. I'm going to a retreat in about 3 weeks for a week, and then I'm going to Lake Tahoe for 5 days, and I was hoping to meet someone because I don't meet anybody in my town, and just whatever messages you're getting, please.
You're our Donna in Santa Barbara, aren't you?
Yeah, I've called you before.
You've called us before. Yeah, because I was seeing cheerleader pom-poms.
Oh, my gosh.
It's funny.
Oh,
I kept seeing bubbles. I don't know why I was seeing bubbles when she called in, and that's what I was, image of just like just bubbles around her. You know the I can't even think. I'm getting so tired now. At the end of the night, you know the bubbles that your children have. I just kept seeing like a bunch of them all around her. It was so funny.
Oh, that's nice.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Are you
okay? Yeah, that's the first thing that I saw. Just happiness and joy surrounding you, Donna. I just see you like in a hat going for a road trip. Those are the images that they're showing me. The wind blowing in your hair. Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. And the message to you is just to go with the flow. And just enjoy the time that you have. There's nothing really specific that they're showing me. Just have a good time is basically the message here, and just have a lot of fun.
Oh, good.
Ryan, do you have anything for Donna?
Yeah, hi, Donna. It's Ryan. You said you're going to hopefully find someone that like a partner or just find some happiness.
Because this town is pretty hard on meeting guys my age. I'm 64, and the retreat I'm going to, everybody's 55 and up.
Okay. Yeah, what Tina said, I would just say the same. See, here's the thing about you is I was picking up on your energy fields here. When you are being yourself, you're like the flower and this and this person that you're going to meet is like to be is a natural attracted to you. It's when you try to be someone that you're not, that's when you're going to have the North Pole magnet and the North Pole magnet coming together, and they'll be like, okay, this woman is trying too hard or something's amiss. So just be yourself, because you are a lovely, wonderful woman, and you're going to be a guide magnet, okay? It's because you have a very magnetic personality. That's why they said North Pole, South Pole. That was weird.
Weird.
Very, very magnetic. You know, it's like when you walk in the room, people kind of stop what they're doing and they look at you and say, wow, very charismatic, very, very bubbly. That's where Tina got that from.
Thank you.
You have a very very bubbly, effervescent personality. Yes! Thank you! That's okay. The doctor, I feel awesome! You're very bubbly, but that's not, it doesn't mean you're ditzy, you're just very bubbly. You're the life of the party, and people are just attracted to you. And that's when you're being yourself. You're not a bookworm, okay?
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, you're not a fan of going to the library, are you?
No.
I mean, you're like a vampire to girl, like, you know, I ain't gonna go to a freaking library. So yeah, very bubbly, very effervescent, and yeah, you're gonna do good. And don't worry about your age. Age is just a number, you know. I wish, and I'm dyslexic, so rightfully so, I'm actually 34. But what happens when I'm 44? I can't blame it on dyslexia. That was a bad joke. They get worse on Sunday.
Oh.
All right, so that's, yeah, thanks for the laugh. But that's all I have for you, okay? Just be yourself, and you're just fine.
Thanks,
all right.
Hi, Donna.
Hi.
That means I would be five, Ryan.
I should be laughing in 6 years from now, okay? I'll just shut up.
Yeah. So, Donna,
yeah.
Are you taking your dancing shoes?
Yeah, maybe for Lake Tahoe. The retreat is pretty much hiking in the redwoods, and, you know, it's at a Buddhist temple, and they're going to talk about living and dying and doing some Don Kyoi, whatever it's called. But Tahoe, yeah, I think Tahoe would be fun for that.
Mm-hmm. They keep showing me dancing shoes, going, gotta pack the docking shoes, gonna need those. This is so exciting for you. This is gonna really be a great trip, both of them, part one and part two. They're showing me connections being made and friendships being forged. So this is going to really help you with connecting with some other people. And that love that you keep looking for, I don't want to say he's at the party, but there's a connection at the party.
Okay. Yeah.
So it may not be something coming right up immediately, but they keep showing me a connecting loops. So for me, that means that either it's someone that attends, that is connected to the person, that you end up forging a friendship with, or if this person is coming in through another direction, linked around. Okay?
Yeah.
But you both have a blast. They are telling me it is time for that girl to get out and have a good time.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. And in December, I'm going to Vegas for 5 days with a girlfriend around Christmas time. So that'll be fun. So I don't know what we're going to do there. Probably just go and open the windows. Which will be fun. Okay, well, thank
you
so much. Appreciate it. Thank
you're
you.
Very welcome. Definitely give us a call back and let us know how it all goes.
I will. Thank you.
Thanks, Donna.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Bye now.
Okay, guys. We are rounding up at the 9:30 marker. Tina, I know you need to go. You want to go ahead and give your information for our listeners?
Well, sure. My website is messagesofcomfort.com, and you can find me there to book a session. And also you can email me at godentina@yahoo.com as well, and you can find me on Facebook. And that is it. Thank you very much for having me, guys. A lot of fun.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Awesome.
It's
I look
been
forward
great.
To
thank
you
thank
joining
you.
Us again.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Take care. Have a good evening.
You too.
You have
thank
a good
you.
Night.
Okay.
Tina.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
And Ryan, would you like to go ahead and share your information?
Yes, the listeners and what's up to the callers, they can find me on Facebook, search Ryan Adragna, or my website, healingsthroughspirit.com, or send me an email at healingsthroughspirit@gmail.com, and I'd be happy to work with you guys. So, yeah, that's how that works.
Awesome. And I'm Shannon Johnson. You can also find me on Facebook at Shannon Johnson, Metaphysical Facilitator. Blah, 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 blah. My tongue's a little tired, I think. And I also have a website at ladyastral67.wixsite.com.
Oh, yeah,
and I'd also like to remind all of our listeners that the Sacred Embers team does three shows a week. On Wednesday night is Divine Connections with Sue Delamonte, Lynn Bleasdale, and Jody Higgins. On Thursday night is Angel Antics with DC Love and Eileen Powers. And then Friday night with Jandre Faki, Ryan Adragna, and Shannon Johnson here at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Pacific time. Join us again next week. It's been an awesome show, Ryan. Great time talking.
Awesome.
Lots of good messages.
Everyone did great here tonight. With much love, appreciation, and gratitude, thank you very much to everyone who joined us in tonight. Thank you. All right.
All right, dude. I'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Same time, same bat channel.
Yep. You're done. Okay, good night.
Good night. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.